Hello, everyone. This is Stephen Strang, and welcome to the Strang Report podcast for Wednesday, December 23rd. You know, so much is going on in our nation, with the election fraud, with the uncertainty if Joe Biden or Donald Trump will be inaugurated on January 20th. I've done a number of podcasts about this. My latest one was Mike Lindell. If you didn't hear it, you should look it up on the Charisma Podcast Network. Well, today somebody sent me a link from Eric Metaxas, who I have great respect for. And I listened to it. And it was a prayer call by my longtime friend, Jim Garlow, who a couple of times a week has over 6,000 people praying for various things. And usually they invite someone from the administration or government to say a few words at the beginning. Well, this week they invited Steve Bannon, who is in the thick of everything that's happening. And instead of just talking a few minutes, he talked almost an hour. And he said some very important things. I was interested that he is very, very strong that the president will pull this off. And he makes his arguments very convincingly. So I sent a text to Jim Garlow. I said, Jim, I heard this recording on Eric Metaxas. Could I do it on a podcast? So what you're about to hear is what Steve Bannon said on this prayer call. Now, I tell you that you should try to participate in these prayer calls. And they have one every Sunday night and Wednesday night. People basically pray for about 3 minutes. They usually last almost 2 hours. And I just think that it's important that you participate. It's called the Global Prayer for Election Integrity and Against Election Fraud. And you can go to wellversedworld.org. That's Jim Garlow's website. It's www.wellversedworld.org. And Wellverse is WellVersedWorld. Fill out the pop-up that says pray in the campaign box. And so I think it would be good if you would listen from now on. But I just felt that what Steve Bannon said was so important, even though it's long. This is much longer than normal for me on a podcast. Also, I'd like to do a podcast with Steve Bannon, but with everything going on, and with Christmas coming up, you know, it just wasn't possible for me to get him on a live podcast. Maybe later, but for now, I'm just trying to communicate this information. The mainstream media, big tech, tries to suppress this, but I encourage you to listen and then to share it with people. I think this will really encourage you. It's a little longer introduction than normal, but I wanted to sort of explain to you what you'll see. So stay tuned, and the next thing you'll be hearing is Steve Bannon's voice, and listen to it to the end, and then I'll have a closing thought.
Welcome to the Strang Report with Steve Strang on the Charisma Podcast Network. This episode was produced to discuss and address issues within our nation and around the world from a Christian worldview.
Well, it's a joy to have Steve on with us. And Steve, thank you for coming on. I'd like to just throw you a question, several questions, and turn it right to you. And I guess I'd say, where have we come from in this journey? And why do we sense some real disappointment along the way? Where are we right now? What are our viable pathways forward? And if you would like to give commentary about the actual evidence. The people who deny the evidence say there's no evidence, move right along. If you'd like to give a report on the actual evidence that you're aware of, we would appreciate that. So Steve Bannon, thank you for joining us. Let me just turn it right to you.
Pastor Garlow, thank you very much. And Mario, thank you. Adam Schindler, and a big shout out to one of the bravest souls we've got there, Pam Pryor, who has worked every day, not just on the campaign years ago, but every day in the administration to make things right. Listen, this is a fight that we can't lose. If we lose this fight, to really secure and close on this massive landslide victory that President Trump won on November 3rd. We're going to cease to be a republic. This is going to go back to what Franklin warned us about, I think, on the day that the Declaration was signed in Philadelphia, when a woman came up to him and praised God that we finally had a republic. And he said, a republic, if you can keep it. And on our shoulders, this rests. And this is why I'm so honored to be here with Pastor Garlow's and Mario's global prayer meeting, because we need prayer. You know, I was very blessed to come into the campaign in 16 and in mid-August. And I will tell you, that victory was providential. You know, we were a ragtag group. I think we were down 12 or 14 points in the middle of August. And we won a stunning victory because Trump really stood up to the managed decline of our country by the elites in our country, and also the elites throughout the world, what I call the Party of Davos. And his fight over the last 4 years has really, I think, been in the face of the Chinese Communist Party and their allies throughout the world, on Wall Street, in corporate America, in the city of London, in Europe, in the Middle East, Iran, Pakistan, Turkey, Russia, all of their junior partners, North Korea, that are trying to control the Eurasian landmass and really drive us into this unrestricted warfare that they're currently fighting us on: information war, cyber war, economic war. We're very far down the road in that. And one of the reasons that we're winning, and one of the reasons all these forces are aligned against President Trump, is that he was turning this country around and returning us to our original greatness. And to be specific, you know, I started war room impeachment back in September of 2019, where it became very obvious to me that Nancy Pelosi was going to move to impeach the president, when a lot of people said it's fake news and it's not going to happen, because I could see the designs of what they were trying to do to get ready for 2020. The pandemic was going to be a world historical event. And my belief, my strong belief, is that came out of the Wuhan lab as part of a bioweapons program. And let's give the Chinese Communist Party at least the benefit of the doubt. They didn't purposely release it, but they certainly were doing experiments, and they certainly exacerbated this. And they were over here with President Trump at the time signing a trade deal and said nothing about it. That pandemic, and the way that the Democratic Party seized upon it to do these mail-in ballots, set the stage back in the early spring and late spring and early summer for what their plan was, to essentially steal this election. Now, I'm going to go into some specifics about how we're actually going to close in this victory. Right now, obviously, there's six states up in the air, and they added New Mexico. In those six states, we overwhelmingly won. I mean, three of those states are as close as you can possibly get: 20,000 votes in Wisconsin, what, 12 or 13,000 votes in Georgia, 10,000 votes in Arizona. And that, to me, has always been my primary focus. Michigan and Pennsylvania, obviously, he won. That was turned around in the middle of the night with these ballot drops. In Pennsylvania tonight, I think we have dropped the most significant lawsuit of this entire effort, and that is with John Eastman and Alexandra's dad, Ernie Priate, who's the former attorney general, and others have really crafted a very tightly argued constitutional argument to really, that's aimed to go to the Supreme Court, and they will have standing, the way this has been crafted, to really argue the constitutionality of what really Pennsylvania did, but other states did too, to have the state legislature actually change the law, or have governors change the law around COVID-19 or the CCP virus, that really were not in compliance with the constitutions of those states, specifically Pennsylvania and Georgia. That's filed tonight. I think it's going to get expedited. Now, my belief is, I'm not so sure the Supreme Court wants to be a part of this. I think we've seen the Supreme Court go out of its way not to take on these cases. And so I think the Supreme Court, and I think the courts are one element of this. But I think more specifically, if you look at each state, let's break it down into three verticals. Number one vertical is the illegal voting. Whether that voting was illegal aliens, whether that voting was people underage, whether that voting was people out of state from post office boxes, et cetera. In Georgia, that goes to the hundreds of thousands, just the illegal voting, of which Cleta Mitchell and I think the lawyer named Smith have done a fantastic job of outlining. And that is being pressed very hard. and the governor's being very pressed in the state legislature to have a special session of the Georgia legislature to address these and to decertify this election, and particularly to decertify the Biden electors and to kick it to the House of Representatives. In addition, the second vertical, and by the way, in Arizona, it's a couple of 100,000 votes, particularly in Wisconsin. The state Supreme Court there, regardless of what you read in the media, has actually given us a pathway to victory. They've basically ruled 4-3 against us at the state Supreme Court going forward on every aspect of it. But the dissenting justices wrote a withering opinion. And everyone in this crowd should read this and send it to your friends that said there's baseless and no evidence. They quite frankly went into the evidence on early voting, on fake early voting, on manipulation of ballots, and particularly what is called indefinitely confined, which is people that are in nursing homes, normally 15,000 people a year, apply for that in Wisconsin. This time it was close to 200,000. And these people were ballot harvested in parks throughout Milwaukee and Madison. And they're up on social media skiing in Aspen or surfing in Hawaii and just making a mockery of the process. So the Supreme Court did rule that those ICs, if the campaign can prove that they're actually invalid, they will address throwing those votes out and maybe decertifying this. And you should know that Bernie Kerik, Mike Roman, and the team have been working on this for about 5 days. And I think by Tuesday, we'll have a report to take back to the courts and to take to the state legislature that proves that there's probably 50,000 to 100,000 of these indefinitely confined voters that it's just phony. And they'll have to deal with that about how this gets certified or decertified. So that's Wisconsin. In Georgia, we have the vertical of that. Then you have the entire vertical of what is called mail-in ballots. That vertical in Georgia alone, there are 1.3 million mail-in ballots. 600,000 have no chain of custody at all. The paperwork from the different counties hasn't been done. It's supposed to be done, I think, 24 hours after the election. 600,000 haven't been done. Fulton County says they won't even have theirs done until the 19th of January. This was all done because of a consent decree that was signed, and nobody in the state legislature knew about it. It was signed between Raffensperger, the Secretary of State, and Stacey Abrams. And Stacey Abrams has gamed this entire system. And quite frankly, the same rules apply for January 5th, which is going to make it very difficult, given, quite frankly, the lack of enthusiasm, a lot of the Trump base to support another fiasco to really have us win on the 5th. But Georgia is a mess regarding these mail-in ballots. And you see this in the mail-in ballots is a massive problem in Pennsylvania. Now, they're going about the Pennsylvania approach to go on to constitutionality of what the governor did, what the Secretary of State did, even the legislature, but without doing a referendum to the people, which was required by the Constitution in the Commonwealth of Pennsylvania. Like I said, that got filed. John Eastman will be on. He'll be on Maria Bartiromo tomorrow. He'll be on our show. He'll be doing the media round tomorrow to explain this. So those two verticals, illegal ballots that traditionally, which go to the hundreds of thousands in Nevada, in Arizona, in Georgia, in Wisconsin, and in Michigan. The second one is this mail-in ballot fiasco of non-chain of custody ballots. The third is obviously you've heard about Dominion and Smartmatic and all that. That's the third element of it. That is one that I think, honestly, is just going to that's something that'll take an investigation that could take months, if not years, to get to the bottom of. I believe that is what's called in finance a free option. That's something that I believe is a very deep vein to mine, but I'm not so sure how much we can get out of it between now and January 20th. And we need to get this done in the next 2 weeks before Congress meets on the 6th. So there is an amazing set of analysis that is done by Paul Gosar and I think Andy Biggs and a team that's been working for them out in Arizona that has just now gone public over the weekend that shows some that ties the anomalies you've seen of these mathematical anomalies that you've seen, ties it back to actually the vote count as it was done that night. That is going to be addressed tomorrow by the House of Representatives in Arizona on a special committee meeting. If it passes muster there, which I believe it will, it'll then be passed to a general committee in the House tomorrow. And I think we'll back up what Arizona has done in trying to subpoena the Dominion machines in Maricopa County, which has now gotten to be a huge range war because the Maricopa County, which is controlled by Republicans, don't want to turn it over. My point, between now and the 6th, we have to, at state legislatures, because all the courts are going to do is turn it back to the state legislatures. We have to, at these state legislatures, basically get them to do something very basic, and that is to decertify those votes and kick it to the House of Representatives. And I'll talk to you in a minute what a contingent election would be. Now, people talk about the Insurrection Act, that we ought to do this and ought to do that, and that's crazy talk. Okay, we got to get focused on closing on this victory. And here's what it is. In the three states that we could flip this right now, if we decertify Wisconsin at 20,000 votes, which is very doable, if we decertify Georgia at 10,000 votes, which is extremely doable, if we decertify or 12,000 votes, if we decertify Arizona at 10,000 votes, which is extremely doable. Just the hard evidence we have today of illegal voting and problems with mail-in ballots and problems with the machines that we can identify today. Those are all three of those are controlled by Republicans. And the people in Wisconsin have been terrific. That shows your Republican Party that works, where you have both, you know, the Trump right wing and populist group coupled with the moderates and the establishment that are sitting there. And the Wisconsin people so far have been terrific, saying, no, these are the rules. These rules have to be applied. And the rules can't be changed by clerks. Democratic clerks in these big cities or in college campuses that just want to change them. In Wisconsin, it's working, and we have a path to victory. In Georgia and in Arizona, the simple problem we have is Republicans. We have a Republican governor and leadership of Republican establishment that are cowered by left-wing media and too afraid to stand up and do their duty. And I think you're going to see in the next 72 hours an enormous amount of pressure put on them by evidence and by overwhelming evidence that they're going to have to do their duty, call special sessions. If we get special sessions of the Arizona legislature and the Georgia legislature, this thing will get turned around, because one falls, they all fall. And what we're seeing here, they're within our grasp. We have overwhelming evidence of this on many different verticals. And so if that happens in the next 72 hours, and it has to happen between now and January 6th, this effort that Mo Brooks in the House and Tommy Tuberville are doing is heroic and very important and needs to be done. That's where a member of the House or a member of the Senate can stand up and question each individual state, just one member each. And then you can call for a 2-hour debate per state that's called into question. And we know that other senators are piling in here back at Tommy Tuberville, and other House members are backing up Mo Brooks. But we don't have the way that system works is we don't have the votes in the House because you vote by individual member. What we have to have, and what the Constitution provides for, if we can decertify the Biden electors in these three states, we get below 270. The Constitution applies that we go to what's called a contingent election. And that contingent election, basically in the House of Representatives, you vote basically by state party delegation. Each state gets one vote. Right now, I think the Republicans control, 26 congressional delegations, House delegations. The Democrats control 23, and I think there's one tied. I believe Pennsylvania is still tied. And so we would win with state party delegations if they had the courage to really of their convictions to do this. The Senate would vote for the vice president, and the president would be confirmed, then take the oath of office at noon on the 20th. Now, if this gets fought through and continues to be thought through in January, the worst outcome that could happen as we fight this through is that Nancy Pelosi would be the Speaker of the House, and she in all likelihood would be named Speaker of the House on the 6th. The Speaker of the House would be named the acting president at noon on the 20th. Until that time that it could be worked out or voted that either Biden or Trump, and it has to be somebody that's gotten electoral votes in the Electoral College, so it can't be other candidates, can't be other people, would be voted in by the House as president. So this fight's far from over. We have a lot of ammo. There's a lot of things coming out. Gosar's analysis is going to be promulgated tomorrow in the House. I think Gateway Pundit has got the 7-minute video. I every one of you should go to Gateway Pundit and watch this video. It takes about 6 or 7 minutes. It's very informative. You should understand when you're watching that analytical team could essentially prove the same thing off of the raw data that went to the secretaries of state in all 6 of the states are in question. And so what happened here, essentially, they had a plan, and this was called the Transition Integrity Project. They came up with months and months and months ago. They knew that Trump was going to win an overwhelming victory on Election Day, and they set this up using the CCP virus mail-in ballots and others to overcome his victory. What happened is that he had such a massive landslide and such a huge turnout that they had to go to all types of methods that they were caught in. And so if I look, I have a reputation of not focusing on things that don't matter. You know, I saw the rise of populism. I saw the rise of Trump, the CCP, all of that. This is a fight we must win. We have no choice. People that are saying, oh, let's just move along, or it's too tough, or it's too hard, or the media's going to call you crazy. That those are all summer soldiers and sunshine patriots. We have to hold the line on this. Because if we allow this, if we allow an illegitimate and illegal government to take the administration to take office on January, it'll be unique in American history. We will have a massive constitutional crisis. And right now, with all the tech oligarchs suppressing everybody out there, suppressing Twitter, Facebook, YouTube, all of it, and the mainstream media basically mocking and ridiculing President Trump every day and misreporting, saying it's baseless, it's no evidence. The polling shows from a wide range of pollsters, it's between about 46% and 48 or 49% believe the election was illegitimate and illegal activity took on. That's of all Americans. Right now, I think we're at 85%, closing on 90% of Republicans and almost 100% of Trump supporters. This has never happened in the history of the country, even before the Civil War. You know, President Lincoln, I think, won 40% of the popular vote. I clearly won the Electoral College, but nobody questioned whether it was legal or legitimate. They questioned the policies and they said, we don't want to be a part of this. We would have for the first, if we allow this to take place for the first time in our country's history, we would actually allow an illegal and illegitimate administration to go forward. And the evidence is only going to get more powerful over time, because I do believe the Dominion system and smart tech and all of that, Smartmatic. More information will come out in the months ahead as real investigation takes place. And quite frankly, as I strongly recommended to the president, we need a special counsel named immediately, a special prosecutor just on election fraud and voter fraud. They're two different things, election fraud and voter fraud. He needs to do that immediately. In addition, he must announce a special prosecutor, name a special prosecutor to look at the Biden hard drive, Biden's compromise by the Chinese Communist Party and the Chinese Communist Party's infiltration into this country and particularly into the political class. And so we have both a constitutional crisis and a national security crisis. Never in our country's history has senior leadership of a party and, quite frankly, an administration that's trying to come in been compromised by a mortal enemy of the United States. And that's the situation we have. So we have, if you add that to the geopolitical crisis around the Eurasian landmass, which is the consolidation of the Eurasian landmass by Chinese Communist Party with their partners, North Korea, Pakistan, the mullahs in Iran, Turkey, and Russia, that, we are heading towards, a global crisis. And in this country, a constitutional crisis layered on a national security crisis. So prayer is what we need. But we also have to remember that God works through imperfect instruments, and all of us are imperfect, and some are more imperfect than others. Stephen K. Bannon and Donald Trump being close to the top of that list. But these are the instruments we have. And President Trump, I will tell you, he is down for this fight, and he's not down for this fight for himself. He understands the country's at stake. He understands this republic's at stake. He understands the Constitution's at stake. He is not going to back down. He will never concede. And I will tell you, in the small chance we don't win this, he will never sit on that stage and participate in an inauguration, as he should not. This is an illegal effort that's gone on. We're proving it every day. It's even going to be proved more in the days and weeks ahead. If we get to Congress in a contingent election, it'll be proven there. Even if we get just that we have the 2-hour debate and evidence, it'll be something extraordinary in the nation's history. And now is the time that people, and particularly elected Republican officials in the state and the state legislatures, the governorships, our members of Congress have got to stand, and they have to stand for the Constitution. And so besides your prayers, any amount of pressure that you can put on these people is what's necessary. And they're responding to that pressure. We know in Arizona and Georgia specifically, they are responding. This is why we have the subpoena to Maricopa County by the Senate. This is why we have this meeting tomorrow with Gosar's people and Andy Biggs's people on this analysis in the House, because people are protesting, people are calling their offices, people are emailing them, and we're just relentless. And so if you all, I know you are a group of leaders here. So if you can just, with all of your organizations, and this is why we've got to keep it inside the lines. There's no need to talk about Insurrection Act. There's no need to talk crazy talk right now. We can do this with Republican legislatures and Republican governors, or we can close this in the courts. And so right now it's just for us to show our resolve that we're never, ever going to give up. And we will never, ever allow Biden to really take control of this government. We will fight this. We will fight this every day, even past January 20th.
Steve Bannon, thank you. I have a question, several questions, actually, and Mario has a couple questions.
Yes, sir.
The first one, can we put pressure on if we're not in, like if we're not one of those six or seven states, does our calling the governor still have influence to put the pressure on if we call from out of those states?
The answer is absolutely. Governor Kemp and Governor Ducey have they have national ambitions. You know, both Ducey and Kemp think they're going to be president of the United States. Ducey thinks he's going to run for the Senate in 2022. He's going to run for presidency after that. Kemp has great aspirations, and he has donors. Remember, the reason we're in this situation, there's a lot of the Wall Street crowd that give money to the Republican Party. They're telling him, hey, the Atlanta Journal-Constitution, CNN's headquartered in Atlanta. You don't want to look like a crazy. And quite frankly, a lot of the establishment, particularly a lot of the donors in the Republican Party, and Pam Pryor knows this better than anybody, they just want Trump to go away. They think Trump's a passing storm. And why is Trump? Because he's given you voice. It's not Trump as an individual, although he irks them the way he comports himself, which is he irks them, right? Most importantly, it's because he's empowered the evangelical community. He's empowered conservative Catholics. He's been your voice in the room. He's empowered working class people. He's empowered the middle class. Washington, D.C. is a city not in the room, not in the deal. And Donald Trump has not just put us in the room. He's given you a voice, the voice, and they hate him for it. Remember, he won in 16 because of the managed decline of our country by our elites. And that's the same situation today. What they want to do, all of Biden's policies, is to reverse everything we did in the last 4 years on the Paris Accord, in NATO, in all these aspects, in China, to kowtow to China, to become part of the party of Davos again. Right. But Biden, these guys, look at his selections already. These are just retreads of the Obama administration. They want to go back to those policies that were before January 20th of 2017. This is what they want to go back to. And the reason is they realize that Trump was the backbone or was the front man for a populist revolt. And they hate that. They want your voice quelled. That's why they don't mind playing Smash Mouth. That's why they don't mind taking down your Twitter account. They don't mind taking your YouTube account away. They would do everything. Everybody in this audience that had Facebook understands you don't have the reach you had a couple of years ago because the tech oligarchs have deemed that you're a nuisance, and particularly people of faith. People of faith are a nuisance. There's a report out today that they think the biggest problem in America is the rise of what they call white nationalist Christian, Christian nationalism. They just make this stuff up. You know, the Trump movement, what I'm most proud about it, and you saw this in the vote, he got almost 50% of the Hispanic vote. He got counties in Texas and counties in Arizona. This is just not the Cuban vote in South Florida. It's working class Hispanics and Latinos in places like West Texas and down the Rio Grande Valley and in southern Arizona. Why? They want border security. They're conservative in their faith. They're hardworking. They understood Donald Trump is trying to stop illegal immigration because it affects their ability to increase wages as laborers. They want China to confront it in those factories, bring back. And Hispanic, one of the top things that rates in polling with Hispanics is confronting China because they understand when those manufacturing jobs come back, when the fourth industrial revolution manufacturing jobs come back, their kids are going to be the ones getting a benefit from that. Trump has led a revolution. Look, we're on the cusp of a great realignment in this country. African-American, Asian, Latino, Hispanic, we could get 50 or 60% of the Hispanic vote in 2022. Things have been unprecedented. We could get a third of the African-American vote. We may get 50% of the African-American male vote. We could get a majority of the Asian vote. Every ethnicity, every religion, every race, every gender, is what Trump's nationalistic populism represents. And Wall Street hates it. The corporations hate it. The party at Davos hates it. The Chinese Communist Party obviously hates it. This is the great struggle of the 21st century, and Donald Trump is the instrument, and I would say a providential instrument, that has been put here to fight this. And that's why prayer is so important. But prayer without action doesn't mean anything now. This needs action. And quite frankly, everybody's going to be tested. I've seen it here in Washington, D.C. People I admire, people I like, people I've worked with have faded on this. It's too tough. It's too brutal. Your law firm is not going to get clients. You're not going to, you're going to get taken down on Facebook. You're not going to get gigs at these speaking events. Your book deals are going to be canceled. My advertisers are going to get canceled on your shows, on your radio shows, and your TV shows. Well, that's what they said back in the Revolution. That's a sunshine soldier, a summer soldier, and a sunshine patriot. This is a moment of testing. One thing you could see in the run-up, and I was there in 16, but in 20, it blew me away. You're seeing the 96-mile car caravan in Arizona, the 30,000 people that show up self-organizing in South Florida to protest against communism, up in 50,000 people that show up in Butler, Pennsylvania, a town of 12,000 people. We are the beginning of a great awakening. The great awakening is here. And now it's our time to close. We must close on this. We don't have a choice. There's not a choice. That election was won by a massive landslide. And if we don't close on it, hundreds of years from now, we will be cursed. And that's what we have to stand now. We have to stand hard, and it's going to get tougher. It hasn't. You think it's been tough so far? If one of these states decertifies, there's going to be a firestorm in this country, because Antifa, the most radical elements of Black Lives Matter, the Marxist element of that, not all of it is, but the Marxist elements of Black Lives Matter, Antifa, the media, it's going to make June look like a church picnic. So we need resolve. We need people that have not just integrity, but have inner steel, that are going to sit there and have Trump's back. Look, one of the biggest problems we have is everybody around Trump is telling me you got to concede. Everybody said, oh, you just got to run in 2024. There's no 2024. There's just now. There's just now. This is the only thing that matters is now. If we don't do this, we're not going to be, nobody's going to take it seriously. Mm-hmm. And particularly voters shouldn't take it seriously. We went out and asked those people for their votes. We asked those people for their hard-earned money. We asked those people to come to rallies. They need to see that the vanguard of this movement is prepared to bet it all on closing on this victory. So it's going to take prayer, but it's going to take prayer with, God works, and the Holy Spirit works through human instruments, right? And we're those instruments. So it's time to get to work and hunker down. And part of our work is putting a fear of God in these Republicans. When people talk the insurrection, I go, have you lost your mind? We're talking about Republicans that we put in place. These gutless, you see, there's an article down on the Georgia Star about Ralston, the Speaker of the House, lied to the president's face and threatened all the people in there about having a special session. The governor has lied to the president a number of times. Ducey has lied to the president and won't take a meeting with Rudy Giuliani. These are Republicans put in and voted in by Republicans. Ken Blackwell said the best. We are the governing majority. Look at what we won down ticket. Look at the state legislatures we won. The American people have entrusted this nation to us. We're the governing majority by quite a bit in this country. Mm-hmm. And if we can't, and why in all those votes, it's only Trump that's down, because they understand that Trump is an instrument, and they understand that Trump puts working class people in the room, and they hate you. They hate what you stand for. What they want you to do is very simple. They want you to be a cog in the machine, number one. Number two, they want you to pay your taxes. And number three, they want you to send your sons and daughters out on foreign battlefields to protect their economic interests. That's what they want. And they want you to keep your mouth shut. Well, that's the exact opposite of Donald Trump's program. And that's why we must close this today.
Alexandra, I'm going to need you to, I got another question, Steve, for you. But Alexandra, get us the contact information for all the people with whom we need to contact, the governors, et cetera. And then we'll get that out. And for all of you that are listening, if you're not on our mailing list, go to wellversedworld.org and write in the word pray, and we'll know to include you in this, because this is we're talking about righteousness versus evil. That's our concern here. Steve, there's members of the House willing to stand, Mo Brooks and others. Is there a senator that's indicated in a contingent election he's willing to stand, he or she?
It's not contingent. Remember, contingent would come from the state legislatures taking Biden down below 270. It would get kicked in the House. What they're talking about is what the Constitution provides for, on totally separate. That calls for the House and the Senate to individually review all the electors. And it'd be very tough. Remember, this thing on the 6th, it is if it gets that without a contingent election, that's my point. Unless we reverse this now at the state legislatures and kick it into a contingent election, into the House and the Senate, just showing up on the 6th with these electors are as they are, that in that regard, the House votes as individual members. The Senate votes as individual members, not by state. We're going to lose that one in the House. There's no doubt, because we're still a couple of votes short. What it does do is put before the American people as a last gasp effort the cheating that went on in a formal process. And we have to have more people back Mo Brooks. And quite frankly, my belief is that Purdue, I wouldn't lift a finger for Purdue or for Loeffler unless they did three things, and they haven't done it. Number one, they've got to sit there and call for immediately a special session of the Georgia legislature to hear the evidence. Number two, they have to stand with Tommy Tuberville and other senators to say they're committed to hear all the evidence on the 6th and not seat any electors until it's heard. They got to stand with Tuberville and Mo Brooks. And number three, they got to back President Trump on two special prosecutors, one on election fraud and voter fraud, and a separate one on an investigation of the Bidens. And quite frankly, I got to tell you, because John Fredericks, my radio partner's down in Georgia, he's been there since, I think, the 5th of November. The establishment is whistling past the graveyard. Stacey Abrams is running the tables on, because she's got the same drill she had before. They still got the mail-in ballots. She still got 80, she signed up 80,000 new voters, which I think is in violation of Georgia law, but nobody's calling her out on it. And Karl Rove and these establishment guys have picked off all the donors. It's in the New York Times today. They've raised twice as much money as the Democrats, and they're doing TV ads. Well, because they think the deplorables are stupid, and the deplorables are not stupid. They want to fight for Trump today because they understand in fighting for Trump today, you're fighting for Purdue and Loeffler on the 5th. And I think we have a crisis in Georgia, because I think if this election was held today, they both lose. I don't think there's any doubt they'd lose. And their strategy is just like Karl Rove and the apparatus put in more money and take more TV ads and pat you on the head and say it's going to be fine. Well, it's not going to be fine. It's not going to be fine. The November 3rd is going to go down as an inflection point in American history. We had a presidential election stolen in the dark of night, stolen in the dark of night. Embrace that. We will be cursed by every generation that comes after us, because we will not bequeath them on high noon on the 20th. If Joe Biden is inaugurated, we're not going to bequeath the same nation we've had up to January 20th at high noon of 2021. It's going to be a different country. Mm-hmm. Okay. Not that we may not get it back, but trust me, that's a different country. Never in this nation's history, even in controversial elections like 1860, 1876, 1824, 1800, at the end of the day, there wasn't almost 50% of the people. Yeah, there was Andrew Jackson. Others said they stole it. But there wasn't almost 50% of the American people that sat there and said, this is illegitimate and illegal. That's a crisis. And that's not the republic that was bequeathed to us or the 13 generations that came before us in the Revolution, in the Civil War, in World War II. What was bequeathed to us, that we have failed. We have failed. Not somebody else, not Democrats. We failed. Those are Republican legislatures. Those are Republican governors. Your hard work, your money, your support, put them there. And this is what's so disgraceful. I don't want to hear about the Insurrection Act. I want to hear all this nonsense. I want to focus on what the problem is, and it's revolting and it's disgusting. And we've allowed this to happen. And if it happens, it's our fault. Just remember, it's our fault. It's not Trump's fault. It's our fault.
The people who are stealing the election take at all seriously the pathways that you have outlined that could bring a victory and return the integrity of the election?
They take it very seriously. That's why they don't want to talk about it. If you notice, they have not come back one time and talked about any of the details. It's all baseless. If it's baseless, read the dissenting opinions of the three justices in Wisconsin. Read it tonight. You read those dissenting opinions. We lost that 4-3. Remember, every one of these cases we've lost has not been on the merits of the evidence. It's been on either latches, which you should have brought it earlier. And don't get me going on this. Look, this could have all been avoided, but that's a topic for another day. We are where we are. But they argue either don't have standing or latches. It shouldn't be brought in. Look, John Roberts, anybody that thinks a fairy godmother is going to come in here at the Supreme Court and spring some magic wand over us, it's all going to be better, is fooling themselves. That's not going to happen. At best, what they would do if they take on this case in Pennsylvania, which is the best case we've had, would kick it back to the state legislatures. Mm-hmm. he will not undo it, because he would, in his mind, that would be the Dred Scott decision, that once the party on the other side is going to go to war, right? And he's not going to have that on his watch. He doesn't have the internal fortitude. You know this. Christians know this about what he's allowed to happen on the social conservative agenda. Look at how he's buckled on that. He is not a man of courage. He's a typical, and I apologize to any of the Bush people out there, he's a typical Bush appointee, right? Typical. They're part of the corporate mess we're in. Remember, the biggest enemies we have right now, everybody says the Democrat Party. The Democrat Party is weak and almost irrelevant, besides the way they come up with these great laws and cheat us. It's the big law firms. It's the corporations. It's the tech oligarch, which, by the way, is all your money. It's all your pension funds and your insurance company. It's all institutional money. It's all the deplorables cash. It's your money that funds Zuckerberg, that funds Twitter, that funds Google, that funds the Wall Street guys, that are the biggest enemies we got. They're the ones that have been at the forefront of stopping Trump's revolution, of stopping Trump's trade tariffs and bringing jobs back and confronting China. The enemy's inside the wires. So people sit there and go, Insurrection Act, we got to go. No, it's right here. And here's the point. It's within our control. I just want to reemphasize again, these are Republican legislatures and Republican administrations, you know, basically, except for the northern states. But they're all Republican administration. Look, look at this lawsuit. You read this lawsuit in Pennsylvania, you will spit on the floor. What a Republican state legislature allowed to happen, and now don't have the guts to call a special session to have the evidence presented in a formal path. In Arizona, they don't have enough guts to call a special session. By the way, Trump, and I haven't worked with one person in this project, and I've worked now since Election Day, 20 hours a day, 7 days a week. I have not met one person, including the president, that says the state's legislature's got a rule in his favor. All they're saying is they have to hear the evidence and let the Democrats go at us. The evidence is so overwhelming, we understand if we get a venue like a state legislature, clearly they're going to reverse this. Because the evidence is overwhelming. It's not some of it. It's overwhelming evidence in many different, in those three categories or vectors I talked about. So this is what's so frustrating. And look, I hate to go on about this, and I know you're here for prayer, but it's, listen, this next 2 weeks, nobody can take a day off. When they meet in January 6th, if we do not have a state legislature that is met in a special session and decertified, because one falls, they all fall. If we got to get one, if we have not had one meet and decertify, January 6th is going to be a fracas, but it's going to be very tough to reverse this. And Joe Biden will be inaugurated at noon on the 20th. So it's we got to fight over it. And I think it's ironic over the Christmas, over Advent and the Christmas season, the birth of Jesus. It's time to fight. So it's game on.
Mario, you have a question?
Yes, Steve, thank you so much. We appreciate all that you're doing. All that you did. I had the honor of meeting you your first day on the job in Trump Towers in 2016 for the campaign.
I remember that.
That was with the National Hispanic Advisory Council, the Hispanics. So
I remember. It's great.
Yeah. Thank you so much. I have two questions. Number one, as it stands right now in Georgia, because of the fraud, if this is not dealt with, we're going to lose the Senate in Georgia. My second question, you mentioned it five times. We understand the optics are going to be horrific. Would you see the Insurrection Act? You've said it five times that it's a crazy act. Utilizing that as a means.
But let's go back. I want Loeffler and Perdue to win. The reason I want them to win is we're going to need them in January to fight for the president. So I want them to win. Even if I'm that crazy about their politics and they're too beholden to Mitch McConnell, I want them to win. We have to hold this. And plus all the other things we need to hold the Senate. I'm 1,000% down for that. I'm a practical person. I care about winning. And I've got a pretty good track record. I care about winning. And right now we're not going to win because we need to commit to victory on the 3rd right now to win on the 5th. Because there's 20% of the Trump voters just saying, I've had it. I can't trust these guys. Why should I do this? Stacey Abrams is still out there gaming the system. And look, I don't like Stacey Abrams' politics, but let's be honest. She's a tough hombre. She took Georgia on and stole it fair. She stole it in front of us. And she's stealing these Senate seats, and nobody's standing up to her. you know, Linwood's case is all about this consent. What Linwood is, you know, people think Linwood's crazy, but hey, I tell you what, he's not crazy about that consent. You read what he's discovered on the consent, it makes you sick. What a Republican governor, Republican Secretary of State, Republican Lieutenant Governor, Attorney General agreed to and never told the legislature about it. And to know the legislature knows that now, and they're too gutless to call a special session themselves, which they can call with 60% of the vote. So that's the problem, is no, we must win on the 5th. My fear is we're not, because we're not focused on what it is Trump. And the Insurrection Act, look, you may have to, the Insurrection Act may have made sense back in June for certain elements, right? As this city got out of control and other cities got out of control, and the U.S. attorneys wouldn't do anything, nobody arrested, nobody put away. And you may need to do that. If we reverse this, trust me, Antifa and certain elements of Black Lives Matter and these rioters are going to be back out again. But we don't need that between now and then. It's in our purview. How can you sit there and say, I need the Insurrection Act, when it's a Republican governor in Georgia that's holding us up, or it's a Republican governor in Arizona, or it's a Republican legislature in Pennsylvania that won't even come back from Christmas holiday to hear this, or Republican legislature in Michigan that has overwhelming evidence of voter fraud up there, overwhelming evidence of hundreds of thousands, and won't even, and they see Rudy, but they won't have a follow on me. They got the machines in Antrim County have a 68% error rate. And even if you don't like that calculation, the other calculations is still 100 times bigger than what the Federal Election Commission say, and they won't even put it out for the whole state. Only one is stepping up here is Wisconsin, which are being, I think, terrific. So I don't know how you call the Insurrection Act. You look like an idiot, because they're going to sit there. Insurrection Act, what? You're going to start arresting the head of the FBI? I think all those guys should be fired. I think all this stuff should be declassified. But that's all in the action of the President of the United States. He could do that today, tonight, and he should do it. But we don't need to scare people by saying we're going to do this, when they're going to sit there and go, you can't get your own Republicans to even meet and have a formal session and hear the evidence. So, and the crazy talk only hurts us because the media plays it up. And I respect General Flynn and I love Sidney Powell, but I told General Flynn, hey, I'm going to tell you something, 1,000% one thing I know is not going to happen. We're not going to have a revote. And anybody asks for a revote is an idiot. This country's never had a revote. And if we have a revote, we're a banana republic. You're going to have revotes all the time. We can never have that. We had a vote and Trump won it. The only question before us, it's very simple. The only question before us is to get Republican-controlled states to hear the evidence in a formal setting, which is the state legislature, as the Constitution tells us. And Republicans have 1,000% control of that. And they will not listen to the people. And the only thing is you got to put pressure on them. And we've got 2 weeks to do it.
Steve, I cannot tell you how grateful we are. We asked for 15 minutes. You gave us way more than that. I am so honored and so thankful for you. And what you've helped clarify, I want every listener to make sure they hear this. This is basically nonpartisan. He struck out as Republicans as strong as he has Democrats. This is good versus evil. This is righteous people against unrighteous people. This is integrity versus the lack of integrity. This is a biblical, theological situation we're facing. And that's why we're prayer people. And that's why we activate. We're not ultimately core partisans. We're following of truth, righteousness, holiness, biblical justice. And that's what's at stake here. I want to thank you, Steve. What you have shared with us has been an eye-opener. It's as clear as I've ever heard it. Tell people what time your show, War Room, is on.
War Room is on every morning at 10 to noon East Coast time. And then at 5 o'clock, we're on Real America's Voice. But you can get us on, you just go to YouTube, Google us. It's War Room, where we have a podcast. We have 25 million downloads. We're in the top biggest podcast in the country, biggest podcast in the world. But you can see it on TV, YouTube. We do it every day from 10 to noon Eastern time live. Tomorrow morning, every day we pack it. You're going to hear Bernie Kerik about what the state of investigations are. You're going to hear John Eastman about the Pennsylvania lawsuit. You're going to hear Gosar about this analysis of voter fraud in the machines and the software in Arizona. 2 hours of all of it. We're going to have Carol Swain on, the new, she's the African-American woman from, I think, Vanderbilt University. It's now on the president's 1776 commission. She's going to be on. We're going to have Dr. Li Man Yang from Hong Kong University, the courageous Christian who defected from China and told us about the CCP virus. She's going to talk about this new strand of virus in England. And she's also going to talk about watch out for this vaccine. You got to be very careful and think it through. So it's packed every day with finance, business. Clearly, the election is our biggest thing now, the pandemic. And then we're on at 5 o'clock to 6 every day also. So 10 to noon to 5 to 6. You can watch us anytime. And just you'll get basically 2 hours of what you just got here every day, except other people talking. I try not to talk as much. But the reason is, Reverend, thank you. Pastor, thank you. Mario, thank you. Pam, Schindler, everybody, thank you. I just one thing is saying, we need prayer. This is a world event that will be remembered in American history. There's an old saying, I think actually the Marxists said it, that there's decades in which nothing happens and there's weeks in which decades happen. We are in a fourth turning in this country's history, and they will talk about this 100 years from now, what goes on in these next 6 weeks. And so I am so proud to be on your side, the side of the righteous. We got a righteous fight ahead of us, but it is a fight. It's going to be a fight, and it's going to get ugly. So we need prayer. So thank you very much.
Well, thank you for listening this far. This may be the longest podcast I've ever run, but I felt it was important to run it in its entirety. And as I said at the beginning of the podcast, share this with people. We want to get the word out. You know, it's interesting to me that almost without exception, the Christian leaders have been very strong that God has spoken. I have seen a little slippage in the last few days, two people in particular. I won't mention any names, but other than that, there seems to be strong faith that Donald Trump is somehow going to pull this out. And I think that you can see that Steve Bannon believes that too. But it's also encouraging to get information kind of from the front lines of this battle. And it really is a battle of sorts. It's a political battle, but really the fate of our nation hangs in the balance. If the Democrats get away with stealing this election, and it's just so blatant, you know, this is not just a handful of precincts in Cook County, Illinois in 1960, which they say gave the election to John Kennedy. This is in seven states. It was going in Trump's favor. They stopped the counting. They had already done a whole lot of election fraud, including these Dominion voting machines having algorithms. If someone voted for Donald Trump, it counted 80%. And if they voted for Joe Biden, it counted 120%. And they thought that by putting these algorithms in, now I'm repeating what I've heard. Of course, I don't have the evidence in front of me myself, but I have reason to believe that this is true. And it wasn't enough to swing it. And so they started bringing in boxes full of votes. And I mean, the stories you hear are just almost unbelievable. And other kinds of fraud too, with the mail-in ballots, and not in one state, but in seven states. So folks, this is not over yet. And I'm just doing my part to try to pass things along as alternative media. I so appreciate Jim Garlow letting me do it. I appreciate Eric Metaxas out there beating the drum for liberty and freedom. And you know, our concern is that if they get away with this election fraud, from now on, it's going to be whoever cheats the most will win, period. I don't know how we'll ever get it back. And so that's very important for us to pray and to believe, keep a positive attitude. There's some very, very smart people working on this. You know that Donald Trump believes he's going to win, or he wouldn't be sticking out for so long. So with that, I'll wrap up this edition of the Strang Report podcast. Check out my website, stevestrangbooks.com. You can also get a copy of Charisma magazine there. We have just launched the new Charisma Plus app. You need to check it out on Google Play Store or the Apple iTunes. And it's something very important. I'll be talking about it later, but I'm starting to mention it when I do podcasts just to get the word out. We'll be doing a big, big launch after the first of the year. Thank you again for listening to the Strang Report on the Charisma Podcast Network. I'm Stephen Strang. God bless you.
Thank you for listening to the Strang Report with Steve Strang. To read more from Steve, visit his blog, The Strang Report, on charismamag.com. Again, it's the Strang Report on charismamag.com.
This has been a production of the Charisma Podcast Network. Steve and Joyce Strang are the founders and owners of CPN. Dr. Steve Green is the executive producer of the Charisma Podcast Network. We intend to honor God with every podcast and remain thankful to our advertisers and supporters who make these podcasts possible.